call this meeting to order. Cheryl, would you mind reading the agenda?
Sure. Okay, Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, public meeting Saturday, February 8, 2025, NCBVI 4600 Valley Road, Room 4A, Lincoln, Nebraska. Agenda, 9 a.m., call to order, welcome and introductions, announcement concerning public comment periods, meeting agendas, Open Meeting Act, proof of publication, recordings, and other logistics. 9:10 a.m., approval of the November 4, 2024 public meeting minutes. 9:15 a.m., report from the commissioners. 9:20 a.m., focus topic, Nebraska Business Enterprise, NBE. 9:50 a.m., public comment period. 10 a.m., break. 10:15 a.m., report from the executive director. 10:45 a.m., newsline update. 10:55 a.m., client assistance program, CAP, complaints or issues. New business, 11:10 a.m., award to the mayor of Lexington, a former blind client. 11:20 a.m., public comment. 11:35 a.m., final announcements. 11:40 a.m., adjournment. That is the agenda.
Thank you, Cheryl. Okay, so the next thing would be welcome and introductions. Obviously, welcome everybody. We're going to... I am, of course, Brent Hyen, the chairman of the Board of Commissioners. I'm just going to go ahead and do roll call first. We'll start with the board, and then we'll go to the commission employees, and then we'll go to the public. So, Patty?
Good morning. My name is Patty Shanlaw. I am the rep designee for American Council of the Blind.
Miguel Rocha.
Good morning. I'm Cheryl Livingston, Vice Chair of the Board of Commissioners and the designee of the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska.
Linda. Good morning. I'm Linda Bentink, Executive Secretary on this Board of Commissioners from Columbus.
I'm Kathy Stevens, Administrative Specialist, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Eric Buckwater, NBE Supervisor with NCBVI.
Jeff Shear, Vocational Rehabilitation Counselor with NBE of NCBVI.
Sarah Watson, Human Resources Generalist for NCBVI.
Lizzie Heidenreich, Occupational Work Counselor with NBE for NCBVI.
Erin Brandyberry, Deputy Director of Services for NCBVI out of North Platte. And that is all of our staff, so we'll go to public.
Sounds good.
Sandy Alvarado, I am the chairperson for the blind committee meeting people. Michelle Morgan's with me. She was my driver.
I'm Mark Bolger, Omaha. I'm with the American Council of Mine.
Jim Yerach, Omaha, American Council of Blind, Nebraska. Licensed vendor, former commissioner.
Ronnie Kellogg, Secretary of Blind Vendors Committee.
I'm just Patty's driver.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Just a quick note, I know, I'm sure a lot of you have noticed Carlos is not here with us today. He had a death in the family, so he's not going to be here with us today, obviously. Sure, he would appreciate thoughts and prayers for his family and for his family member who passed. So. Next thing on the agenda is announcement concerning public comment periods. Obviously, we have periods of time, as you noticed, when Cheryl very expertly read the agenda to everybody, where we will allow the public to have comments. This could be about anything that we've talked about in the past or any questions, comments, concerns you have that may not necessarily be on the agenda. Those would be good times to bring those up. Open Meeting Act and proof of publication, Kathy. And recordings and stuff.
Do you want to turn yours off? And I'll... Okay, a copy of the Nebraska Open Meeting Act is available in both Braille and print here at the front table. The notice of the meeting was published in the Lincoln Journal Star, on the state government calendar, the NCBVI website, and at the Newsline, and it was sent to Radio Talking Book. The notice was also sent to ACBN, NFBN, and the NCBVI listservs.
Okay, thank you very much, Kathy. The next thing we have on our agenda is approval of the November 4th, 2024 public meeting minutes. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll move to approve the minutes. Sorry, I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved by Patty and is seconded by Cheryl to approve the minutes. We'll do a roll call vote. Patty?
Aye.
Miguel?
Aye.
Cheryl?
Aye.
Linda?
Aye.
And I say aye as well. So it is approved. Next item on the agenda is report from the commissioners. I'll just go ahead and start. So basically what this period of time is we talk about what we've been doing within the blind community and the community in general to promote blindness and so on and so forth. I myself, work in the hotel industry full-time and basically just show what we can do. So, I have a lot of guests now and then. For example, I use a little device that I can use to read the IDs that, they commonly comment about. Although it's kind of interesting, sometimes they think I'm trying to steal their identity, and so they take their ID away. Or they think I'm just trying to, just scanning it in the computer, and it's just like, no, I don't think that technology exists, but thank you. it brings up an opportunity for conversation from time to time, and I, of course, take advantage of that. So we'll just start then, continue on down with Patty, and move our way back.
On January 9th, I attended with Carlos a meeting with Special Education Advisory Council. The focus was on promoting Braille with blind and visually impaired children. We have our next meeting scheduled for February 13th. And Kathy, do you know, will we have that since Carlos may still be out of town?
I believe I'm going to be talking to you about that on Monday. But I think he would like you to go ahead and attend on behalf of the agency.
Okay, thank you. I attended Omaha Council of the Blind monthly meeting, and on the 23rd of January, I conducted a support group meeting for blind and visually impaired residents of a facility in Papillion, Trinity Village.
This is Miguel. I attended the NFB board meeting. Also, I've attended the NFB at-large meetings. In December, I graduated from the UNO with a Management Information Systems degree, bachelor degree. Thank you. And at this time, I want to, just for a moment, give my appreciation to the Commission. Without their support, I wouldn't be able to achieve that milestone in my life. And also, I know that they will continue supporting me throughout the next stage, which is the job search. I also attended the Accessibility Technology Industrial Association conference end of January. I enjoyed it. It provided an extension of my knowledge of technology to other accessibility parts of people that need technology, not just blind. The focus was about AI and how AI has been integrated with software and hardware. They have also provided some resources and assessment techniques they went through and advised on the new ADA regulation about all the organizations that are working with the government that they need to be under all their additional accessibility, or I'm sorry, additional content needs to be accessible for larger companies that need to do this by 2027. Bigger companies need to be doing this by 2026 and smaller companies by 2026. They also presented a lot of hardware, such as the, you know, Braille devices, vision glasses, and they also had a session regarding code for the blind, which helps the blind students to learn how to code. But you guys have, oh, and also they did mention about their concern about the OTs performing accessibility of the vision impaired without having the correct education.
Thank you, Miguel. Sure.
I have been attending Lincoln Chapter meetings of the NFB of Nebraska. I was elected secretary at the January meeting. I also serve on the board of the NFB of Nebraska as the state treasurer, and I also serve on the convention committee. The NFB of Nebraska will be holding our annual state convention beginning Thursday night, March 27, and ending at noon on Sunday, March 30th in Omaha at the Omaha Marriott Regency. And we are planning an exciting convention. We hope that people will attend, and I think it'll be a good convention. So that's my report. Linda?
Can you hold that?
Sure. Oh, yeah, sure.
Because I have to read.
Okay.
Since our last meeting, I have attended and participated in three AAWSBVI board meetings. That's the Alumni Association of the Wisconsin School for the Blind and Visually Impaired. One AAWSBVI Zoom Union, which we had last night. Three NFBN board meetings, two NFBN Historians Committee meetings, two NFBN senior division meetings, two Friends of the Commission meetings, one interview with a researcher for the NFB's Museum of the Blind People's Movement, and one meeting with people from around the country to begin work on a toolkit to help faith communities include blind and low vision people. I have also been in contact with a daughter-in-law of a Columbus resident who is experiencing rapid vision loss. Friends of the Commission met Tuesday, January 28th. We focused mainly on Treasury business and approving our revised bylaws. We are still looking for up to 4 additional board members. That is my report.
Thank you very much, board members. The next thing we have on our agenda is a focus topic with the Nebraska Business Enterprise.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's not turned on.
Good morning. My name is Eric Buckwater. I'm the NB supervisor for NCBBI. I'd like to start by giving a brief overview of the Randolph-Shepard Act, which oversees the NBE program, for those who might not be familiar. The Randolph-Shepard Act was signed into law in 1936 by President Franklin D. Roosevelt, brought to the House and Senate by Senator Morris Shepard and Representative Jennings Randolph. Known as the Vending Facility Program, the Act gave blind individuals the priority to operate vending facilities, which are cafeterias, snack bars, and automatic vending machines on federal property, to provide operators with remunerative self-employment opportunities. Nebraska, like most states, has a reciprocal state law that gives blind individuals the same priority on state property, with a few exceptions. Known as Business Enterprises Programs collectively, or BEPs, in Nebraska we do call ours the Nebraska Business Enterprises. Each state has a state licensing agency that oversees the program. The SLA, which is NCBBI, owns the units at each location, holds the contract permits or agreements for the location, and licenses a vendor who meets the qualifications of the program to operate the location. Each vendor owns and operates their own business to service the locations. The Nebraska State Enterprises Program currently has 65 sites under operation by 17 NBE vendors or trainees. NBE also has approximately 30 additional sites that are operated by third-party companies. Dispersed across these sites are approximately 500 vending machines and 7 micro-markets. In federal fiscal year 2024, NBE brought on board five new additional individuals to operate sites, 4 of whom have already received their licenses. NBE also added 10 new sites, the Nebraska Department of Education, which has a vending machine and a micro-market. Lincoln Regional Center has vending machines. A DHHS site in Omaha has 2 micro-market locations. A DHHS site in Bellevue has 1 micro-market. The DHHS office in Hastings has 1 micro-market. We added vending at YRTC Hastings and YRTC Kearney. And YRTC is Youth Rehabilitation and Treatment Center. The USDA office in Lincoln has vending machines. Beatrice State Developmental Center has vending machines. And we added a private location at Beatrice Health and Rehab, which has vending. In addition to these 10, NBE also opened a micro-market inside the US Stratcom building alongside our existing vending machine operation. This installation offered customers a place outside of the cafeteria to purchase snacks and beverages with credit and debit cards. Due to the nature of how credit and debit card readers work on vending machines, these devices are not permitted inside the US Stratcom facility. Micro-market credit and debit card readers are much easier to hardwire into an internet connection, making them safe to use in a high-security military building. In all honesty, bringing on 5 new individuals and 10 new sites in 1 year probably overstretched NBE staff a bit, but we powered through and we learned from our mistakes. In federal fiscal year 2024, NBE vendors grossed a sales total of $1,426,795.80 at non-interstate locations and an additional $211,831.75 at the 20 locations along Interstate 80, for a combined gross sales total of $1,638,627.55. This does not include the gross sales at the dining facility inside U.S. Stratcom building, which grossed an additional $1,151,148.34. There has been a lot of discussion across the industry post-pandemic as to whether the vending machine industry is dying. The answer is complicated. In general, sales at non-government office buildings are in decline as many businesses are opting to keep employees working from home as they became aware that post-pandemic this model is working for them. Fortunately, NBE does not have many non-government-related office buildings. NBE experienced an initial post-pandemic decline like most BEPs across the country. Most of our sites are located in state and federal office buildings, a large majority of whom also continued telework practices after the pandemic. In Nebraska, with the governor's decision in the middle of 2024 to have state employees return to working in office, NBE has seen sales tick up in state office buildings since June. Sales across the industry remain steady, if not rising, in blue-collar settings. However, this has been notoriously hard segment of the industry for BEPs to break into, as the competition with larger mainline companies is difficult. NBE sales at sites with captive audiences, for example, our locations at the Department of Corrections locations, continue to perform very well. This includes sales both with NDCS employees and guests of the facilities. One of the ways that NBE is pivoting to better meet the needs of customers at our locations is to move away from traditional bank of vending machines and towards micro-market installations. Micro-markets remove the glass that separates customers from product. Items are placed on open shelving with cold food plastic glass door coolers. In short, the concept is meant to convey the ease and openness of a convenience store. Customers are able to touch product, read nutrition information, leading customers to being able to make more informed decisions. Visually and emotionally, the open concept also conveys a sense of welcomeness and a more high-end shopping experience. Once customers make their selection, they utilize a self-checkout kiosk that is not too dissimilar to a self-checkout line at Target, Walmart, or Hy-Vee. Micro-markets are watched over by security cameras that can be reviewed if a large amount of shrinkage is noticed at the market, shrinkage being the industry term for theft. The self-checkout kiosks also have built-in features that track the most common methods of theft from markets. Unlike vending machines, which can limit the amount of different products being sold, as each product takes up one or two rows in a machine, micro-markets usually offer a wider range of items at reduced quantity level. Micro-markets also allow for the sale of items that do not traditionally dispense well from a machine. This wider array of options appeals to most customers. Vendors who service micro-market locations are also able to more easily offer deals or incentives to their customers. The software that powers the markets can keep track of individual customers' purchases. This allows, as an example, for vendors to program the market software to give each individual who purchases 10 20-ounce soft drinks to get their 11th drink free. Or, for another example, customers who purchase a sandwich can purchase a bag of chips for 25 cents off regular price. Another feature of micro-markets is the ability for customers to purchase gift cards to use at the market. These incentives could be used as Christmas gifts to fellow co-workers or for supervisors to purchase as rewards for their employees. Another advantage of micro-markets is that for NCBVI, they are approximately half the cost to install as the cost of vending machines to fill the same space. Are there any drawbacks to micro-markets? Sure. Micro-markets do require more frequent visits and attention by vendors who service them. Because micro-markets usually have more items at fewer quantities available, restocking more frequently is usually needed. Markets also require more frequent attention to keep product face and merchandise properly. Fees incurred by the vendor for the software that powers the market are also higher than the fees for the credit card readers on vending machines, and micro-markets require an internet connection that is more powerful than the cell signal that the vending machine credit card readers need, yet another additional cost for the vendor for this service. As products in micro-markets are generally checked out by the kiosk by scanning the UPC on the packaging, vendors also need to ensure that each product they carry is entered correctly into the software. Micro-markets, at least at the level NBE is able to install them, are usually only a viable option inside a closed break room situation where the market is only accessible to employees. For example, installing a micro-market inside the state office buildings in Lincoln or Omaha would not be a wise investment, as those areas are accessible to the general public. In a closed break room situation, if shrinkage occurs, viewing the security camera footage will most likely be an employee whose supervisors will recognize. In an area that is open to the public, it is really hard to determine who that person is. NBE operates two cafeterias, one in the state office building in Lincoln and one inside the U.S. Stratcom building on Offutt Air Force Base in Bellevue. The cafeteria at the state office building utilizes a catered food service model. Food from local establishments is brought in each day and sold to those who come to the cafeteria for lunch. This model of cafeteria service has been in decline for quite some time, and this decline was only amplified by the pandemic. The proliferation of food delivery services, rising food costs, and changes to agreements with restaurants, who themselves are struggling with tight margins post-pandemic, have all led to this model offering very low to no profits for those who operate cafeterias using this model. NBE is currently working on a new contract with the State Building Division. As part of this negotiation, NBE is looking at alternative ways to which food service can be provided in this location that improves the cost and profit margin, or deciding to relinquish this contract if we determine that it is no longer a profitable facility to operate. Several things hamper food service profitability in this location, including proximity to a plethora of different food options in the downtown Lincoln area, and the design of the building, which does not make it feasible to install a ventilation hood system in the cafeteria, which severely limits the type of food that can be prepared on site. The cafeteria, known as Deterrence Diner inside the U.S. Stratcom building, is a full-service cafeteria that offers a grill station, a sandwich station, a pizza station, as well as a salad bar, daily soup selections, and two daily lunch options. Breakfast is also served and offers daily specials, as well as a selection of breakfast sandwiches and breakfast burritos. A third-party subcontractor also operates a full-service coffee shop inside the cafeteria. The cafeteria is open Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., or if you're inside the building, from 0600 to 1400. One of the biggest NBE projects this past year is to work in cooperation with the government to switch a grab-and-go area inside the cafeteria to a second micro-market that is open 24 hours. This second micro-market is a little larger than the other micro-market placed in the building and is able to offer frozen meals, ice cream, and 24/7 on-demand coffee drinks. NBE invested in a bean-to-cup coffee machine that is able to produce 14 different coffee beverages on demand. Customers make their drink and then use the self-checkout kiosk to pay for the beverage. Other initiatives that NBE has worked with the government on this year inside the building is to install several self-checkout kiosks in the cafeteria to ease the burden on staffed registers and to speed up the checkout process. Still in the works, but almost there, is the ability for those in the building to order food online and then pick it up in the cafeteria, allowing them to skip standing in line to order. Currently, NBE is also in the beginning stages of working with the government on a remodel and update of the cafeteria. This update will allow for more adaptive food offerings, a permanent salad bar area, and an area where we could display and sell U.S. Stratcom swag, t-shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, challenge coins, etc., as it is written within our agreement with the government to be allowed to do these things. One of the things that NBE has really been leaning into in the past year is the power of data that having credit card readers is able to provide. While all the money for credit card sales from vending machines and micro markets are distributed directly to the vendors, NBE staff has access to see the back end of all the devices. In addition to credit card sales, the devices that power these sales also track cash sales. This allows NBE staff to glean data in a wider range of manners, allowing us to track sales and make informed decisions about the profitability of machines, frequency of service, and a host of other metrics. This data gives us access to far more information than we could gather from just visiting a site, although we still do that as well. One of the large projects we are focusing on for 2025 that uses this data is to determine which sites are currently over-machined. By tracking the sales data, we can determine if there is a machine that is underperforming, that is not selling enough product to make it feasible to keep this machine at the location. If, as an example, a location has two snack machines, but the employee population at the location has dropped, can NBE redistribute one of these machines to another location or a new location without having to purchase new machinery? Another feature offered by the backend and credit card readers is the ability for vendors to utilize vending management software, or VMS. While an extra cost each month, VMS allows a vendor to program exactly what item is in each individual machine by the slot it is in. The vendor then sets the PAR level, or periodic automatic restock level, for that product. A PAR is the amount of each item a vendor expects to sell between visits to a location. Before leaving to visit the location, a vendor can run a report that tells them exactly how much product they need to take with them to bring each product back up to its PAR. This is utilized mostly by vendors who have locations which do not provide on-site storage. When a vendor knows what each machine needs, they can pre-kit, that is, place in items in a tote and take only what they need with them. Previously, a vendor would have to A, take all their product with them, or B, visit the site and make a list of products they need, return to their storage area and gather products, and then return to